Hello, hello, and thank you for listening. This is Melissa, and you're listening to Mel's Podtastic Life. So welcome to episode one of Mel's Podtastic Life. What kind of crazy podcast is this anyway? Glad you can tune in. And I'm so happy to have all these wonderful listeners listening in. Today I'm going to talk about names. So what was I going to talk about for episode one of a crazy podcast like mine? Well, first of all, there's going to be an intro because y'all need to know who's talking to you. Of course you do. So just give you a little bit of info about my background, and then I'm going to talk about names. Yes. Why are names so freaking important? The history of names. My name has to be the most annoying name ever, and I say that with a lot of love. And you'll know the history of my name and why. I shouldn't say that I loathe it, but there have been things that have been happening throughout the course of my life that has made me question why. And what about the naming of this podcast, right? What kind of podcast is Mel's Podtastic Life? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about what I am doing in every episode, what you guys will be expecting from me, and it's going to be exciting. So, all right, onward with the show. So you guys are wondering about the podcast name, Mel's Podtastic Life. Well, first of all, I am Melissa Rowe, and my online persona is Mel. I prefer to be called Mel in a lot of chat rooms. Only people on social media know me as Melissa, only because, you know, they've known me for a while. But I prefer to be called Mel. So greetings, everyone, and thank you for listening. I am Melissa Rowe, as I was saying. I live in beautiful Southern California with my amazing husband, who I would very, very publicly say that he is Animal Planet's answer to Bigfoot. He's my awesome Yeti, but I love him. And I have a beautiful guide dog. Now, both my husband and I are totally blind. I am currently attending California State University, San Bernardino. But I decided to take a hiatus. I seriously needed the break with the pandemic going on. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the family and just needed the time to chill. Yep. We needed that time to kind of step away and enjoy some private time with hubby and I and, you know, try to make sense of everything that's been going on with this pandemic. It's crazy. So I hope everyone is staying safe and healthy and getting everything that they need. Certainly, if you want to talk about what's been going on with the pandemic and stuff, I would be completely open-minded to bring in a panel of people and we can discuss some things because I know it's got to be tough. So anyways, so I enjoy reading and writing as I'm currently going for an English major in creative writing. I enjoy dogs, of course. I absolutely love dogs. I enjoy baking and I enjoy all things audio. I love recording audio, producing it, and wouldn't you believe I'm just sitting here in the comfort of my bedroom recording with nothing more than just a really nice mic and a cell phone. So it's not your elite podcast society here. It's just something that I love to do. It's a hobby that I've loved and I've tried to have a go at it many, many times. In fact, Mel's Podtastic Life is in its reincarnated form. I tried to launch Mel's Podtastic Life last year. And then the pandemic hit, and when it first hit, I was busy with school, but I thought, you know, a podcast, it'll keep me busy, but then just the pandemic kept on coming and a lot of things were happening and I didn't get a lot of material because everyone was kind of busy doing their own thing and wanting mainly to survive. So there was not a lot of discussions. There was not a lot of interaction with listeners. And I was also having some difficulties with my former podcast provider, but I am super glad with what I have now. And now I not only have a podcast, but I have a website to pour my love into. I am currently managing a blog that's going to have my podcast there on the site, and I would love for you guys to visit it and tell me what you think. I'm at celestialvoice.net, and I'm very, very new, meaning this website's very new. I've been around before, and I've been on podcasts. In fact, I used to do internet radio broadcasting that was going on and off from about 2007 to about, I would say, 2019. I did some talk shows. I've done a few music shows. I've done a variety of things, and it's been fascinating. So my experience with internet radio broadcasting, my experience with helping people edit their audio, and my love of audio in general. I'm one of those microphone nerds. I love to listen to how, you know, different things sound. I love binaural recordings like the ASMR stuff, which is something I'm going to be talking about in a little bit. And I love just the fascinating world of audio. I think it's really, really great. So the naming of Mel's Podtastic Life, I came up with that idea. And when I was reviving this podcast and making it into what I really am super, super proud of. Not that I wasn't proud of Mel's Podtastic Life before. I was. I just didn't have enough momentum to get it off the ground. And now I really do, and I'm super, super stoked. But basically what this podcast entails is every episode I'm going to be either discussing one of my numerous topics that I have of interest, or I might do an app discussion or demonstration, or we might be listening to me doing some various things where, you know, versus, you know, just me sitting in front of the microphone. I will be going out and either maybe taking my dog out for a walk so you guys can hear the different surroundings, or being in my kitchen and cooking, or what I'd really love to see up here is to get some panelists up here and through Zoom, through the lovely Zoom. I don't know where we would be without Zoom these days. I think Zoom needs a huge, huge pat on the back, you know, an applause, everything you can give it. But with our adorable Zoom, I would love to get everyone together and have a lot of panel discussions. I also love books. I have to be because, you know, I'm an English major. Although, to be honest with you, I started out as an English lit major. And let me just put it this way. If you're thinking of becoming an English lit major, do everything that you possibly can. I wasn't prepared for this, but do everything you possibly can to prepare for the onslaught of, I don't want to say reading because it's obviously that's what's expected of you, but eventually you're going to get to the point where one of two things or one or two things may be happening. And that is you're not going to be able to analyze any, you're not going to be able to watch any movie, watch any commercial, or read like even a pamphlet without wanting to analyze it. I mean, they hammer it so much into your brain that it almost becomes second nature. And it can get a little annoying at times because you might be reading something very interesting and some people will be like, oh, wow, that's, you know, and then inside your mind, it's like, now, what does this mean? What is the symbolism of this? And it's like, oh, and you want to turn off that mind of yours sometimes. And you also suffer from, like I did, I suffered from literature burnout. I literally lost the joy to read. And thankfully, with the pandemic, I've renewed, I should say, my joy in reading, because finally I was reading for pleasure, not something I really didn't want to read, but had to read because the professors made me do it, because, you know, that's how school goes. So I was totally into, you know, books, you know, when I started this major, and I thought, oh, this is great. You know, I could read books. We can discuss it. Yay. But then, you know, the bureaucratic nightmare that is the university system. I mean, it just totally, you know, it got to me. And so that's why I'm taking a hiatus. But my goal is to release, since I'm in the year of 2021, I'm, you know, trying to write my way out and record my way out, as people sometimes would say. I'm basically using podcasting and writing to kind of cope with, you know, my depression, with the long-term effects of isolation because of the pandemic. And now that there have been some significant life changes, I'm ready to hit the ground running. Because I am so ready for 2021. I know 2021 has not gotten off to a good start for a lot of people. But for the year 2021, I've been doing pretty good. For the month of January, I've been planning my website, getting the stuff needed to put it together, getting signed up for all the various services, and making plans. And here it is, the last day of the month. And I finally found a satisfactory podcasting situation, and I'm just so thankful, because it's like, oh yes, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But my goal was to release one podcast episode a month. Oh no. So that was it. 2021, a new beginning, a new start, a new podcast, even though Mel's Podtastic Life has existed in some other realm. I wanted to give it a facelift, if you can say that. I didn't want to just have a podcast page. I wanted to have a website with my book corner, which is going to have book reviews, book club pick of the month, which there is no book club pick of the month for January, because I've just basically finished putting the final touches on the website, basically for the month of January. That's been my primary focus. It is a WordPress run site, but I am not one of these techie people that's going to know how to put, you know, how to push keys and do X, Y, Z and do all the fancy coding that you amazing technical geniuses out there have the ability to do. I wish I had that kind of ability. But, you know, it is what it is. It's great. It's great. I'm really, really excited. So, as I said, this podcast is basically, you know, it's my hobby. I want to bring my thoughts to the world through discussion, through demonstration, through, you know, all sorts of things. And I'm going to be hosting multiple podcasts. So this is my main one. Mel's Podtastic Life. And my goal is to host three podcasts. The other two podcasts are not a big, big priority right now, but they are what I have in the cards. And those two podcasts are, one, I'm working on an audio drama, and I'm hammering out details about the story, the script. I'm working on the score, but that is still in its infancy stage. It needs a lot of work. So I'm working on an audio drama. But the second podcast is one that I can start any day now, and that is an ASMR podcast. I've got some binaural mics, and I like to do a lot of ASMR recordings. So if that interests people, be sure to keep a lookout on my site when this podcast comes to light. It's going to be great. All right. So we are talking names today, and Mel's Podtastic Life. I love that word. You know how people talk about American Life or a day in the life of something? I was thinking Podtastic Life because of my love of podcasting, and I think podcasting is fantastic, which I'm sure some of you have grasped by now. But there are some cartoon enthusiasts who, when they heard the podcast name, when I mentioned it to them, they said, oh, you're going to have a podcast. And I must confess, I'm not very, very good at understanding cartoons. When I was a little girl, because of my blindness, you know, I watched TV, but my favorite shows, sad to say, were shows like The Forensic Files, Unsolved Mysteries, Rescue 911, because I'd be watching them with, you know, with my grandparents, and they would kind of explain to me a little bit of what's going on. But you really didn't need their explanation because there were narrators. So my favorite show to watch when I was a kid was documentaries. I loved documentaries. But I was very cartoon deprived. When I first met my husband in 2004, I had no idea what Yogi Bear was. I knew about some cartoons. Like, I knew about the Jetsons. I knew about the Flintstones. But I didn't know about Yogi Bear. I didn't know about movies like, you know, the Star Wars franchise. I didn't know about any of those until I met my husband. And I realized that he had a significant love for that kind of stuff. And I was pretty much, you could say I was in a very, very big loop, because I was in my own, you know, world of documentaries and books and the very serious stuff. I was in, you know, I wasn't really into cartoons. So when he said, "Oh, it's going to be an amazing podcast," I was like, yeah. And he's like, "What? No laughter?" And I didn't get the reference at first. And he's like, "Tweety Bird, I thought I saw a putty tat." And of course, that reminded me, my dad was a huge cartoon lover. He absolutely loved cartoons. And I really, really adored my dad. You know, he passed away. The night before he passed away, he was actually watching cartoons. He died in 2002. He was only 38 years old, and he passed away from a ruptured heart aneurysm. So that was a pretty sudden thing. But I remember the night before he passed away, and he had picked me up from a concert. I was at a high school choir concert, and he had brought me home. He had made some hot chocolate, and he had said, "Okay, I'm going to put on some cartoons." So I'm sitting there with my dad drinking hot chocolate, and he's watching, I guess, this Bugs Bunny thing. And it's like, "Yeah, what's up, Doc?" And, you know, whatever's going on the TV. Of course, I don't see it. I don't pay attention to it. But all I remember from that night was my dad, a steaming cup of hot cocoa, being tired from the concert, and just watching, just sitting there with him. And I finished my hot chocolate. I took the cup to the kitchen. I went back and sat with my dad for a while. And he said, "You know, it's getting late. You ought to get to bed." And I'm like, "Okay." And we said, "I love you." And we said goodnight. Little did I know that that would be the last moment of private time I spent with him. And I can't help but think about that when this guy mentions Tweety Bird. And I thought I'd call putty tat. So, and he thought I was going for pod tast and trying to do like fantastic. So I was like, "No, that wasn't even what I was going for." So it's interesting how people can interpret names, because my name, for example, my name is Melissa Rowe, and it's spelled R-O-E. It's the last name is a Norwegian name. That's my husband's father is Norwegian. And so that name, unfortunately, I have been made fun of quite a bit ever since I got married. There were a lot of people that used to say, "Row, row, row your boat." I used to volunteer at a day program, and I'd help adults who were severely mentally handicapped. And they would hear Melissa row, and they would go, "Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream." And, you know, of course, I didn't think anything of it, because, you know, that was their reference. That was what they were equating my name to. And then I get out into the real world, and people who obviously know social cues and know courtesy and know that it's not right to make fun of people's names. You know, I was getting "row, row, row your boat gently down the stream." And I'm like, "Ah, no, because I had come from a last name where I was being tortured with. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I love my family. I'm proud of my name. How I got my name, the story of how I got my name is actually quite funny, which I'll explain. But my maiden name is Griffith. I'm not kidding you. So growing up, I was made fun of. Oh, did you live in Griffith Park? Oh, are you related to Andy Griffith? I recall a principal when I was attending grammar school, and whenever I'd be walking through the halls, he would always whistle the Andy Griffith theme song. And I was also, you know, teased relentlessly, like, are you related to so-and-so Griffith? And people would go on and on and on about my name. And then I go into my senior year of high school. And for a long time, people would either, you know, not, and this wouldn't happen all the time. This wouldn't happen with everybody. But there were people that would mispronounce my first name. They would call me Melanie Griffith. They called me, one time I had a teacher called me Melinda Griffith. And then there was another teacher who called me, I think she called me Melina Griffith. And, you know, it was a mistake, of course. They corrected it. But I had grown up all my life with Melissa being mispronounced. I get into my senior year of high school, and my economics teacher, he can pronounce me correctly. He pronounces Melissa, but what he doesn't pronounce correctly is Griffith. Instead, he calls me Melissa Gilbert. He's like, is it Griffin, Griffa, Gilbert? I don't know. I'm just going to call you Melissa Gilbert. And I'm like, okay. And I had for so long gotten used to people saying Melanie Griffith, Andy Griffith, are you related to Griffith, Griffith? And they would just make fun of my name all the time. So I was used to it. It annoyed the crap out of me, but I would be like, you know, no, it's Melissa Griffith. And then I get this economics teacher, and he had this kind of dry sense of humor where you couldn't always tell he was joking, and he would sound really grumpy but have the biggest smile on his face. And I walked into the room one day, and I'm like, it's cold in here, because the AC had been turned up super, super high because it was hot outside. And I'm like, oh my God, it's freezing in here. And the first words out of his mouth are, oh, shut up, Gilbert. So I was Gilbert. Oh, shut up, Gilbert. And he constantly made fun of my name. Oh, shut up, Gilbert. So how in the world did I get this crazy name? Well, of course, my maiden name, you know, you can't choose that. That was my dad's name. I absolutely love my dad, and I miss him every day. I will be the first to say that people that have a very, very good, close relationship with their parents, I mean, it's not something you get over easily. But I asked my mom one day, I'm like, just out of curiosity, Mom, why Melissa? Why did you name me Melissa? And she had told me that there was a girl in her class, I think she was either in the second or third grade, or I don't even remember what grade it was. I just remember she was in school. And there was a girl sitting nearby. I think it was either in front of her or sitting nearby her. And she said the girl's name was Melissa. And what she really liked was when the girl would write her name, she had very, very, very beautiful penmanship. And when she wrote the name Melissa, she said it looked so pretty on paper. And I was telling my mom one day, I said, isn't it ironic that you name your blind daughter Melissa? My sister's name is Michelle, and she has perfect sight. So I just thought it was kind of interesting. And that was another thing with our names, because it was Melissa and Michelle. We were some of the kids in our neighborhood called us the M&M girls. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I do like M&Ms, but my sister and I are 4 years apart, so when she was 7, I was 11. And they'd be like, oh, are we going to find the M&Ms at 7-Eleven? And I'm like, oh my God, are you crazy? So we're made fun of all these names. I was like, isn't it ironic that the blind woman who can't even write a signature perfectly, who has horrible penmanship, you name her Melissa? So that was how I got my name. And I still laugh to this day. As much as I cannot stand my name. Now, there were a few times when I was a kid and I would tell my mom, oh my God, I hate my name. I hate my name. Then I turned 18 and I kept telling people I was going to change it legally. But of course, you know, I had other stuff on my mind and there were other priorities. Well, now I've decided not to change it. And it's not because, oh, I finally embraced my name. I mean, my name was just too, I mean, other than the last name, my name is too popular, too common. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with the name Melissa. It's just, I kind of wish I had been named something else other than Melissa. But I'm not going to change it now. And there's a very important, very, very powerful reason why. The reason is I had been exchanging a few letters with a pen pal from Africa when I was a teenage girl. He was blind and he was looking for a pen pal. And my mom found him listed in a pen pal wanted ad in a magazine that the Braille Institute used to put out. So my mom mentioned him to me and she's like, here's his address. Here's his phone, his name. And, you know, you can start writing to him. And I said, okay. And I wrote to him. And for a while, I didn't hear anything back. And it turned out that he had gotten very sick. He had contracted malaria. And his first letter came to me on behalf of a friend. And so I was pretty sad about that, but he wrote me again and I was happy and I sent him a letter with a tape in it. And I, ever since then, I never heard from him. But one day I was thinking about him and I always wondered, you know, hey, you know, I wonder what he's up to. And now that we have the internet, I'm going to look for him. Well, I didn't find him on, you know, Facebook or social media or anything like that. But I found an article about him and I found a paper that he had published. And of all things, it had his email on the paper that he'd published. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty bold, but I'm going to go ahead and send him an email anyway. And I sent him an email and I'm like, you know, I know this has been 14 or so years ago. I know this is kind of a little out of the blue. But my name is Melissa. You remember me as Melissa Griffith. I'm now Melissa Rowe. I'm married. You know, here's what's been going on in my life. You know, and it wasn't too long before my dad had passed away. I think when I was about 13, I started sending him letters. And then my dad died when I was about 16. And by then, I hadn't heard from him. And then we moved. So, of course, he's probably, you know, I'm thinking to myself, this guy is going to probably open his mailbox and be like, who is this crazy chick? Because it was a daring move, but I really wanted to connect with him. I read a paper on him. I read that he had done some teaching. I read just how important books on tape were for him. And I he had come from having little to nothing. I mean, he could have almost died because he had gotten malaria. And I was really worried about him. So, of course, when I got a message back from him, I was thinking, oh, boy, let's open it up. I hope he's not telling me, you know, please don't send me a message. But it turned out he was extremely moved. He was extremely moved by my message. And he's like, I can't believe somebody after all these years would be thinking about me and caring about me. He was so moved by that. And not too long after we started exchanging emails, he sent me a message one day and he said, I just named a friend's child after you. So there's a 2-year-old little girl in Africa named Melissa. And I thought at first, I took it to be a very sweet gesture. I thought, you know, this is very, very kind of you. I really appreciate it. But I felt there was more to it. At the time, I was attending a creative writing course at college, and there was a student there who was also from Africa. And I pulled him aside one day and I said, you know, I'm just curious. You know, I have a friend that I used to be pen pals with, and we had started exchanging emails, and he named his best friend's two-year-old girl after me. So he stops me and turns to face me, and he says, "Don't ever, ever take this lightly." And I'm a bit taken aback, and I'm like, wow, why? And he says to me, he says, "The naming of children is extremely important in our culture." He says, "When we name a child after someone, we are naming the child after the person we want them to become." And he said he obviously was moved by the fact that you were so caring and you were wondering about him and how he was getting on and you were, you know, so kind to reach out to him. He named this little girl after the person that he wants this girl to be. And from then on, I say my name proudly. And it's because I appreciate, you know, the fact that somebody had done this for me. And I thought it was a very, very sweet gesture. And when I found out about that, you know, I began to really appreciate my name. Do you know the reason why you were given your name? Some people have very, very basic reasons. Well, you know, my mom and dad just picked my name randomly from a baby book, or my mom named me after one of her best friends, or my mom wanted my name to be unique, so she went online and looked up, you know, baby names and their origins, which is quite fun. So how did you get your name? I'd love to hear comments about that. I would love to hear what you guys think about the naming of a child or the naming of a project. In this case, Mel's Podtastic Life. So it's a great podcast that I'm looking forward to bringing a lot more content. But tonight was all about names. And the appreciation of a name. Everybody has to have a name because the name symbolizes so much more. When you come out loud and you say, "My name is," or you sign your name on a document, people don't just take fingerprints. Signatures are still very important. It is a written or audible symbolization of your identity. Because when somebody says, let's just say, John Smith or whoever, I know John Smith is a very common name, but, you know, in your circle of friends, you know, "Hey, John Smith is coming today." Everyone knows John Smith, you know, and just by saying that name, it equates to maybe, you know, the class clown, a bit klutzy, a bit of a stumbling man, or maybe a very reserved person. You know, they have so many things to say whenever they hear your name. It's a very powerful, powerful phrase. Your name is you. When you say "my name is," and you say your name, people, when they know that's your name, they're going to equate it to, you know, like, for example, you say a person's name. Let's say, you know, a celebrity, Brad Pitt. Everyone hears his name and they know, and they start talking about, you know, either Brad Pitt, you know, or movies he was in, or this, that, and the other. It's part of his legacy. Anybody's name. I mean, it's a beautiful part of your legacy as much as it kind of drives you wild. And believe me, those of you who say, "Oh, I can't stand my name. People make fun of my name." You'd be lucky you don't have names like, you know, Crystal Chandelier. I feel bad for a person named Crystal Chandelier. I really do feel bad for names like that. Or my aunt actually knew of a couple, and their names were Harry and Rosie Butt. So be glad you don't have those names. And if you do, you know, wear your name proudly. It's part of your legacy. And maybe people make fun of your name. Believe me, when I was a kid, I used to think that stupid name game song was the, you know, the funniest thing ever, you know, Billy, Billy, Bo, Billy, Banana. Oh, you know, and I was a stupid kid. I used to think it was the funniest thing. And during the last segment when I was explaining my friend's naming of his friend's child, my furry co-host wandered into the room. I'll be introducing him in just a minute. But when I was a kid, I was into that song. And for the longest time, my family members called me Melissa Bobissa because they thought, you know, Melissa, Melissa Bobissa Banana. And I was like, oh my God, I hate that song. I cannot stand it. And there are still family members that will say, hi, Melissa Bobissa. And I'm like, oh, you know, that's a pretty difficult line because part of you is like, well, it's a term of endearment. The other part of you is like, you're blind, but you are in your 30s, you know, it's that really is like if somebody just said, hey, hon, or hey, sweetie, or whatever, I wouldn't have been offended. But Melissa Bobissa is such a childish, you know, like it is such a childish thing. I mean, you don't see moms and dads still walking around going, hey, Muffin, hey, Boo Boo, how you doing? And talking to their adult children. If I ever hear a parent do that, I'm going to run to that adult and hug them tightly and be like, oh, I feel your pain. Because that just drives me wild. But, you know, sometimes people fail to see a disabled person as a fully grown independent adult. And even when they don't intend to, it just feels weird. So if anybody calls me Melissa Bobissa, they're grounds for being shifted into somewhere in the Twilight Zone, because that's just one of those things that really gets under my skin. But names are, you know, people make fun of names. They, you know, it sometimes is quite scary when, you know, parents don't really think about a child's name before they name him or her, and they come out with the most bizarre names. I look them up online. You know, like some of the YouTube videos that talk about, you know, the top 10 names parents gave their kids, you know, top 10 strange names parents gave their kids or something like that. You know, there's a ton of articles and YouTube videos. And for the sake of everybody's unique name and the fact that I love the world and I would never want to make fun of any names, I'm not mentioning any of those names here. But the point is, it's not that the names are bad. It's just, you know, what were people thinking? You know, what were they thinking? But it's honestly, you know, it's just, it goes to show you that picking a name has just as much of a significance to, you know, to a person's legacy in their, even in their later years. It is very significant. It very much is significant. Whether the parent picks it, whether they, you know, change their last name through marriage, whether they legally change their full name. And another thing I find kind of interesting, though, is I notice that a lot of people have come to me and they've told me, and this is not like most people or whatever, but I've met an incredible amount of people who tell me that they do not have a middle name. And I've always wondered why that is, because most of us, you know, the people that I grew up with, we all were given middle names. My middle name, by the way, is Anne. And it's Anne with an E, by the way. yes, I'm a huge fan of Anne of Green Gables. I love classics like that. Little Women. In fact, I've been thinking about a Little Women fanfic. that I'm still working on. But, you know, like middle names, like, are they still a thing? You know, I'm curious about that. And I don't want to research it on Google. I'm curious about what people think of middle names, because people say, well, put your full name down. I notice that people are like, well, just a first and last name. You don't have to put the middle name. Well, you know, what's the point of the middle name? It's still part of the legacy, isn't it? So, here on Mel's Podtastic Life, We've got some great stuff coming up. We're going to be having book discussions, discussions about dogs. And speaking of dogs, my furry co-host, my guide dog, a yellow lab named Zappa, who is currently sitting next to me, where I should say more correctly, lying next to me on the bed with his belly fully exposed. He wants everybody on Mel's Podtastic Life to give him a belly rub. There's your belly rub, Zappa. If you want to give him a belly rub, you can put belly rub in the comments. Let's see how many belly rubs we can generate for an 8-year-old yellow lab. His name is Zappa. He came from the Seeing Eye School in Morristown, New Jersey. And he's been my amazing, amazing baby. And his name, obviously, and the naming of guide dogs, too, while we're on the subject of dogs, you know, is incredible because, you know, every litter of puppies that's born, each puppy in that litter, their name starts with a certain letter of the alphabet, and he just happened to be in the Z litter, and he had some siblings. Some of the names of his siblings include Zuma, Zippy, Zorro, and one of my personal favorites, Zoltan, of course, second favorite because Zappa's number one. Yeah, he is number one. He's named after Frank Zappa, of course. And so being the fact that he's named after a musician, there's quite the amount of jokes that go around about him. But he's very vocal. He speaks his mind. He has inspired a lot of audio. He's inspired a lot of writing. In fact, a friend of mine is collaborating with me, and we are working on a book about a town run by dogs, and it's called Barkerville. And there is an actual Barkerville place. It's somewhere in Canada. I remember researching this a while back. We named it Barkerville, though, because of dogs, and everyone can kind of picture, a dog running a hotel, I'm sure, a dog running a bakery. There's Bert, he's a Bichon Frise, and he runs a bakery, and he has the best cinnamon rolls in town. And of course, there's an elderly circle of elderly poodles who meet together in Betty's mansion atop Howler Hill, and they knit and drink tea and have biscuits together, and just a quiet, interesting, lovable town with a cast of characters. They're a lot of fun. I love everything that Zappa has inspired. He's even inspired me to create a blog in his perspective because he's quite the dog. He likes Apple products. And so because he's been wanting to get a hold of my iPhone or my tablet, my iPad. Once I had an Android tablet and he pawed it out of my hand. He's like, "You are not to use this." So he has quite the personality. He likes Starbucks, of course, because they have the puppuccino. I have to whisper that. So if you're listening on commute, sorry, but I have to whisper it because it's the magic word. He starts perking up when he hears it. And of course, he, for some reason, likes the fragrance area at Macy's. Macy's is one of his favorite stores. And since the malls have been kind of crowded, you know, because there's a limited capacity because of the pandemic, and you can't really get a spot in there, and I don't really have that kind of money anyway, but he guides me to the Macy's every single time, so he's going to be a huge part of this podcast. I wonder if he'll say anything if we bring the mic over to him. Let's get Zappa on the mic. Come here, Zaps. Would you like to say something to our audience? Would you?
You're gonna snore?
How dare he? That's my guide dog for you. He's sleeping on the job. Oh, dear.
Yeah. When I get him to speak on a podcast, he sleeps on the job.
But I have plenty of recordings of him making, you know, all kinds of noises and vocally speaking his mind. Right now, he's kind of turned his head away. He's laying on his side now, like, I'm not interested. All right, well, that's going to do it for this very short episode. I'm sure we are looking much more forward to getting out in the world, getting that vaccine, and getting life back to normal. But I can tell you one thing, there's always going to be Mel's Podtastic Life. I love you guys. I hope you guys are having a phenomenal day. I thank you so much, so much for listening. And please, please, please come back and give us your thoughts and comments, and let us know what you think of the podcast and the blog and all that great stuff. My website, celestialvoice.net. That's celestialvoice.net. You can email me, melissa@celestialvoice.net. That's M-E-L-I-S-S-A at celestialvoice.net. You can also follow me on Twitter at morning_song. That's my Twitter username. And keep it here on the website, on the podcast, for more great stuff coming up. In February, I'm going to talk about my book club pick of the month and lots of other stuff. So stay tuned. Thanks again for listening. This is Melissa Rowe, and you have a fabulous day. Come back next time for another episode of Mel's Podtastic Life.